Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this May 31st, 2018. This is Payman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the subject, can the IRS only take money from U.S. government workers? After answering this question, I will be taking your calls that you may have about any freedom issue that's on your mind. Freedom Law School, folks, was founded to help educate and empower freedom-seeking Americans like yourself to be able to know and apply the law to live free of oppressive taxation and control. That's why back in 1996, after several years of studying the law, I started Freedom Law School, because as an immigrant from Iran, I was pretty ignorant of American system of laws. And when I was educated about it by fellow patriots, I was very excited. And I started teaching, and folks, Freedom Law School has been having a lot of fun out there helping people like you. If you just found out about us recently, congratulations. Because Freedom Law School is the oldest, most successful, longest running tax honesty group in the history of the tax honesty movement since World War II. Exposing the lies of the deep state, the corrupt criminal deep state that has been running this country for a long time. That's the big banks, the corporations, warmongering, military contractors, all the special interests that with the money buy off the Democrat and Republican parties and the leadership of those parties. They get their people to be the top bureaucrats of the agencies like the IRS, Department of Injustice, and they even have a hand in the judges who get appointed by the politicians. So folks, big government is there against you and me and the American workers. Big government is the servant of these communists and socialists that have taken over the United States government. And folks, that's a sad commentary, I gotta tell you, that in America, we no longer have a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. And Freedom Law School is about educating and empowering you to be able to live free now, while we work with like-minded Americans to restore freedom to America. That is a right that each of us has. That is a duty that every one of us has. So I suggest, folks, you take this seriously and start living a free life, because I have not filed and paid income tax since 1992 was the last year that I filed and paid income tax for. IRS law knows about it. And guess what? They're not trying to even attempting to put me in jail. They're not even have to charge me with anything, because they know better. They know if you know the law. The deep state in the IRS, their management knows that if you know the law, that understand the law, and can explain it to a jury that the income tax system is a scam, that you are innocent, and actually the deep state, the IRS, and the Department of Injustice Management, they're the ones that are, with the aid of the judges, enforcing this illegally imposed income tax on the American people, folks. They don't want to take you out to jury. They don't want to take a chance that you might just beat them and expose the fraud of the income tax to the American people. So that is a key thing, folks, that you can live free. Don't have to worry about going to jail if you know about the law and your rights, like Freedom Law School teaches you. So take advantage of these commerce calls we've had on the previous months. Over the last year, I've covered a lot of things on blogtalkradio.com, on YouTube. We, our channel, we have a lot of these conference calls there. At our website, livefreenow.org, under educational material, you already study up on those things there. Start from the top and go down. It's really that simple. I simplified it on our website, you know, so you can just go down and really just go in and know the truth of what's going on out there and free yourself. Of course, I put together courses and freedom packages, because everything cannot be put into the courses in detail or the conference calls, because the tactics and techniques that are going to be used against the IRS, again, in the courts, cannot be put into a course, folks. Sometimes it's so complicated. Okay, you cannot put it in the course. Neither could I put all the answers in there, because the crooked IRS and deep state will try to fix their mistakes and weak spots. Okay, and close the loopholes in the system, you know, that you can beat them with. Because these crooks are serious. They want to keep this income tax that has been imposed on American people in violation of the law for over 7 years. They just want the money. To the politicians, IRS, Department of Injustice Management, this powerful special interest, these people in government and their judges, it's all about the money. If they don't get the money, they're very afraid. They're going to lose the power. But they will lose the system that they all benefit from, to your detriment. But, you know, as long as the American people are busy watching soap operas and, you know, junk TV and sports, hey, it's all good. So let's dive in, folks. Let's talk about, can the IRS only take money from the U.S. government workers as the law is written? That's what this call is about. So as usual, get your personal computer, laptop computer, tablet, or smartphone out. We will be going on the internet looking up for laws and read the law for yourself. The answers are all there. Okay? Now, I covered this similar issue to this in the last two conference calls of Freedom Law School on May 17 and 24. I talked about and I demonstrated to you that the way the law is written in the IRS code, that the Internal Revenue Code, Title 26, Category 26 of federal laws, the whole title applies to Washington, D.C. However, some parts of the IRS code specifically apply to Washington, D.C. and some particular territories of the United States, like Puerto Rico or Guam. Okay. On the other hand, some other parts of the IRS code, the things dealing with excise taxes, privilege taxes, tax on imports or activities like digging oil out of the ground. Those things, for those chapters, the law applies in all of the 50 states of the United States. Congress clearly knows that they can say United States means only DC, and knows when they can say and mean that United States means the 50 states of the Union. And we demonstrated that in the Supreme Court case of Hoover versus Allison. It was about the Philippines, you know, when it was part of the United States. And discuss the fact that in Washington, D.C., the government can do whatever they want, the federal government, basically. The Constitution does not limit the federal government's actions in Washington, D.C. But it does restrict their powers, like taxing powers, in the 50 states of the Union. So this was a shortcut for the court, for the IRS, I'm sorry, in the deep state, to not to have to worry about how they're going to implement these direct taxes on Americans, the income tax, that direct tax on people, how much you make individually, without having to worry about the part of the Constitution that says, hey, we got to count the number of people in the states by enumeration and divide up in the states that way. It was just too complex. They just avoid that whole thing by making sure these direct taxes apply only Washington, D.C. So tonight's Commerce Call relates to that. In a way, it's part three of the same subject. So be sure to listen to the May 17th and May 24th, 2018 Conference Calls of Freedom Law School, on the subject of whether the, you know, IRS code applies only in Washington, D.C. Because the legal research that's presented in those two conference calls is really a very good key background for what I'm going to share with you tonight. Because it really helps you get the big picture much better as to what has been really going on, you know, in America since going back to the end of World War II. So does the IRS only have taxing power in Washington, D.C.? Part one, part two. I trust you will listen to it. Let's get into tonight's conference call subject by bringing up your browser on your computer or smartphone and type in these, what I'm going to tell you. 26 space USC space 6332 and space and then house.gov, house.gov. Hit enter. What I just did, folks, is you type on your computer, you're going to look up category or title 26 of the federal laws called the United States Code. USC is the abbreviation for that. And section 6332 that you typed in is the section in title 26 that we're going to be looking up, which is about the surrender of property subject to levy. And I put house.gov in there because I want to make sure on your computer you get the version coming up first that is printed by the United States House of Representatives official website, which is uscode.house.gov. So when you did it this way, the version of the law that's published by the House of Representatives comes up first. Usually Cornell Law School comes up first, but I want to go to the official source, the United States government, for you to check this out. So put your mouse on that search result The one that's from uscode.house.gov, it starts with that language. Put your mouse on that, right click on it, and open that link in a new tab. Okay, and there here it comes up. 26 USC, 6,332, surrender of property subject to levy. Okay. Now, what is levy, first of all? Levy in federal law is when the government, federal government, wants to take someone's property, like your paycheck, your bank account, commissions, you know. That is a levy. States, they call it, when they want to take your money, usually they call it garnishment. Many of you have heard of the term wage garnishment. You get a judgment in the state court against your neighbor for damaging your property. You go to his job and you garnish his wages, okay, through the state courts. Well, in the federal law, they call it levy. For whatever reason, I don't know. But it's the same as wage garnishment, essentially, or garnishment. Okay. So, let's go read this thing, folks. Now, it's a long, it is not that long of a section, but really, what we are interested in this thing is you'll see only certain parts that really get into this jurisdiction issue, okay, as far as where is the, you know, the language about Washington, D.C. By the way, I gave you guys the wrong section, folks. Go to 6331. I'm sorry, I gave you guys 6332. It's 6331 is the proper code section to look up. Again, put your mouse on the search result and open that link in the new tab, section 6331, levy and distraint. That's the one. And the answer, folks, is right there in paragraph A that it starts. Okay, I mean, it goes all the way through paragraph K. A is the key thing. You don't have to go any farther. The first sentence basically says, I'm going to just paraphrase this first sentence because you don't have to worry about that really what it says, okay? It says basically any person who's liable to pay any tax, neglects or refuses to pay the tax within 10 days after notice of demand from the government, it shall be lawful for the secretary, that's the IRS commissioner, the head of the IRS and his employees, to collect such tax by levy upon all property and rights to property, okay, belonging to such person. Okay. So that's basically what it says. Okay. They can come take the money of someone that neglected or refuses to pay after the government sends a notice of demand for payment. Okay, the government gives you 10 days. Officially, you don't pay it, neglect, or refuse to pay, they can go and levy your property. Here's the key part now. The second sentence is key. Levy may be made upon the accrued salary or wages of any officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States or the District of Columbia, by serving a notice of levy on the employer, right? Of such officer, employee, or elected official. So basically, the notice of levy must be served, given to the employer of such officer, employee, or elected official. Okay, now, and it says that on accrued salary or wages of that employee, officer, or elected official. levy could be made on them, on their wages. But they gotta be officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States or the District of Columbia. Okay, so any agency or a part of those DC and United States government. Now, remember, last week we talked about what is the term United States. We have to look it up. I'm going to briefly go over that issue for you on that, on what's the United States. Bring up another tap on your internet browser and type it 26 space USC space 7701. That's section 7701. And go down to the one version from uscode.house.gov. That comes up 26 USC section 7701 definitions. Click your mouse on that search result, open that link in a new tab. And now the definitions come up. We go down right under to A9 and 10. Because 9 is United States and 10 is state. Define, folks. Remember again, in the IRS code, so many things are specifically defined to make sure there's no misunderstanding what they mean. So you gotta go by these definitions. Definitions are important, they are not meaningless. Somebody told me one time, oh, you can't take those definitions very seriously. Really? You can't take the definition seriously? That makes a whole difference in the world. In law, folks, you can define a dog to be an elephant. And guess what? From now on, the dog is elephant. A dog is any elephant that walks in India. Guess what? So in India, an elephant is a dog for the purposes of this discussion, because we define dog as an elephant in India. So here, the term United States is defined in subparagraph A9. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, of course, that's the only sense that there is, right? It includes only the states and the District of Columbia. It's only the states and the District of Columbia. And it says only. When it says only, it's absolutely clear, no misunderstanding in a geographical sense. United States includes the District of Columbia and the states only. On subparagraph A10, we go see the definition of the term state. And you would think you'd find a definition that would say any and all of the 50 states or something to that effect. But no. It says the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. So, really, United States could be read as the term United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the District of Columbia and the District of Columbia. So, it includes only the District of Columbia. You can say it 50 times. It includes only the District of Columbia. It's the same. United States only includes the District of Columbia. It's plain English. So now we can go back to section 6331 about levy and distraint. To the second paragraph that we just read, where it says levy may be made upon accrued salary or wages of any officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, comma, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States, or the District of Columbia, means any officer, employee, or elected official of the District of Columbia or any agency or instrumentality of the District of Columbia. Bam. It's plain, obvious reading of the law, folks. It's deliberately, folks, in section 7701, A9, the term United States. They use the word state in there, but then they say the state is DC. So why they play this game? It's there, we just didn't know. They don't have to even add the word state to section 7701. They could say United States means District of Columbia, but oh well, they did it this way. So it is clear here that they only can, by law, section 6331A, authority of secretary to implode levy, is on someone who is an employee, elected official, or officer of Washington, D.C., and any agency or instrumentality of Washington, D.C. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, if that's the case, Payman, how come myself or other people I know or I've heard about IRS can go levy their paycheck and these people live in the 50 states? They do not live in Washington, D.C., right? Well, this is where the deep state comes in, folks. Deep state conspiring to take advantage of our ignorance and keeping the fraud going. Go on your computer and type in this U.S. Supreme Court case I will give you called Sims versus United States. So type in S-I-M-S space V period space United States. Okay, type it in on your computer search browser. It'll come up. You know, the first one came up for me is supreme.justia.com, caselaw.finelaw.com. Also comes up other ones. But Supreme Court cases are really easy to find on the internet for free, folks. Okay? So put your mouse on that result. It says, you know, and right-click on that and open that link in a new tab. And there it is, Sims versus United States. The address of it technically is 359 U.S. 108, which is 359 space U period S period space 108. That's how you find. You can also put that citation I just gave you. They call that citation when you give those numbers. That's the official citation of the court cases here in Supreme Court cases. If you put it on the internet, they'll come up for you. In parentheses, it says 1959, which means this case was decided in 1959. In fact, a little bit below that, you can see it reads in bold language that it was argued February 26, 1959 and decided March 23, 1959, right? Search warrant to the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, so the case went from district court to court of appeal. Okay? Let's read what the syllabus is. The syllabus is like the summary of the court case. Under section 6331 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954. Well, that's that symbol before 6331, that means the section. That squiggly looking sign, that means section. So under section 6331 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954, a director of Internal Revenue issued notices of levy directed to a state and served them on petitioner, which is the state auditor, seizing the accrued salaries of certain employees of the state against whom the Commissioner of Internal Revenue had assessed income tax deficiency. Petitioner, which was a state auditor, okay, which was named Sims, refused to honor the levies and issued and delivered to the taxpayers warrants for their salaries. The federal government then brought this suit against petitioner Sims under Section 6332 to recover from him personally the sums he had so paid to the taxpayers in disobedience of the government's levy. So what happened is, folks, because Sims, the state auditor, refused to pay, take and steal the these people's money and give it to the U.S. government, the U.S. government sued in court, went after Sims to take the money from Sims himself. Okay. Now, held. What the court held, the U.S. Supreme Court? Section 6331 that we just read. And 6332 authorized a levy on the accrued salaries of the employees of a state to collect federal income taxes. Page 359 U.S. 110 through 113 discusses that. Wow, interesting. The Supreme Court says that IRS code allows a levy on the accrued salary wages of a state employee. Wait a minute. We just read the law for ourselves. It's very obvious and plain that the 50 states are not included. So how does the Supreme Court say that the IRS can levy the salaries of state employees? Well, we have to go read a little bit farther to find out more about this, okay? So if you scroll down a little bit, okay, now I'm going to give you a preview of what it is, and I'm going to read it with you. The preview is the crooked U.S. Supreme Court lied, deceived, ignored things, okay, to come up with this predetermined outcome they want to say. That's how bad and deep the deep state goes. And you be the judge, folks, if the court is right on this or not, because the court, folks, is human beings on there just like you and me. Okay. So let's go down. He says, page 359, U.S. 110 in blue. Okay. And let's go to the third sentence in that page. Okay. I'm sorry. Second sentence. Second sentence in that page starts saying the district court, which was a trial court, rendered judgment for the government, and the Court of Appeals confirmed. 252. That's the citation of the Court of Appeals court case. Certiorari was sought on the grounds that Section 6331 does not authorize a levy on the accrued salaries of employees of a state. And you see, folks, what happened is that Sims lost a district court, federal district court, and the Court of Appeal, ignoring the plain language of the law and saying, hey, a state employee is also subject to levy, even though we just read by the plain, obvious language of the law that he's not liable on there, the state employee. So let's read what the certiorari was. Certiorari is an appeal, basically, from the Court of Appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's all it is, basically. They use this mumbo-jumbo Latin language like certiorari, okay? Certiorari was sought on the grounds or reason that Section 6331 does not authorize a levy on the accrued salaries of employees of a state. Okay. And that if it held to be, it does, petitioner was not a person obligated with respect to the accrued and ceased salaries within the meaning of section 6032, which we don't want to discuss that part, okay? Because the main part is really 6031, okay? Next paragraph says that nothing in the Constitution requires that the salaries of state employees be treated any differently for tax purposes than the salaries of others, and they cite two different court cases, Halbring versus Gerhardt and Graves versus New York, Extrell O'Keefe. And it is quite clear generally that accrued salaries are property and rights to property, subject to levy. But wait a minute. The Supreme Court, did you see what they just did? They slipped a Mickey, folks. They said nothing in the Constitution requires that the salaries of state employees be treated differently for federal tax purposes than the salaries of others. But folks, we're not relying on the Constitution. What we read was from Congress passing a law, IRS Code Section 6331, not the Constitution. Why is the Supreme Court says about the Constitution? You see, this is how the crooks change your argument to something else that they like. Okay, and they change it, okay? But you know, why even bring it up at all? But okay, let's keep going. We continue on page 111. In plain terms, section 6331 provides for the collection of assessed and unpaid taxes by levy upon all property and rights to property belonging to the delinquent taxpayer. Fine. No problem. Okay. We don't disagree with that at all. Okay. That's not the issue. Okay. Pursuant to that statute, a regulation was promulgated expressly interpreting and declaring section 6331 to authorize levy on the accrued salary or of employees of a state to enforce collection of any federal tax. See footnote 6. Okay. So let's go down to footnote 6. You click on footnote 6, it takes you down there. Right? What happened is there's a regulation by the IRS. IRS is supposed to, like any federal agency, if necessary, provide regulations that add more details to the law, the minutia of the law, so to speak, like the skeleton and the muscle that are put in by Congress and a basic nervous system, but all the other little small stuff like skin and, you know, hair, all the other stuff, you know, added by the executive agency to make it complete, the details. But the executive agency, like the IRS, cannot change the law that Congress wrote by its regulations. IRS cannot, you know, if the Congress declares, like they did here, that levy can be made on the salary of a Washington, D.C. employee, official, right? Someone in D.C. IRS, in interpreting that statute, adding more details to it, cannot change it, all of a sudden add the state of California, state of Florida, state of New York, Texas, or West Virginia to be included in the definition of the United States. Because that would be changing the law. That would be the IRS, a rogue agency, changing the law by making a regulation that is different and opposite of what the lawmakers in Congress wrote, what our representatives in government wrote. So let's read that regulation, because that's what happened here, folks. Section 301.6331-1A42 of the Treasury Regulations. Wow, what a mouthful, folks. What a mouthful of these subsections. Gosh, and you're supposed to know all this. So this section, whatever, of Treasury Regulations relating to seizure of property for a collection of taxes in 1954. Okay, 26 CFR, that's Title 26 of Code of Federal Regulations. CFR stands for Code of Federal Regulations. Title or Category 26 of Federal Regulations, which is about United States Code Title 26. Okay, they correspond. Okay. In pertinent part provides, they quote that regulation. Now, here's what the regulation says of 26 U.S.C. 6331. State and municipal employees accrued salaries, wages, or other compensation of any officer, employee, or elected or appointed official of a state or territory or any agency, instrumentality, or political subdivision thereof are also subject to levy to enforce collection of any federal tax. Well, the regulation here is obviously written in a way that the state means D.C. because we read the definition of state earlier. Right? The state here does not mean the 50 states. The state here is Washington, D.C. But the Supreme Court ignores that definition of state in the Internal Revenue Code, section 7701A10, which we read earlier. That state means Washington, D.C. So now the Supreme Court is pretending, just like the lower courts, that state means, oh, any state worker. This is how, folks, a quiet, corrupt, criminal, deep state oppression to enslave the American people works. I just broke it down for you. The regulation wasn't really bad, except that regulation was not very clear that the word state really meant Washington, D.C. The regulation should have been more clear that state means Washington, D.C., as defined by Congress in the IRS code. But by leaving it vague here, the crooked deep state federal courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, they took the word state now just to mean the 50 states, like here in this case was, you know, state of West Virginia. And they say, oh, they can take, you know, these people's property in one of the 50 states. Okay, let's go back up, folks. Scroll up back to, you know, page 111 of the court case we were reading. Okay. And the court, the second paragraph of page 111 continues. Okay. Although not disputing these principles, petitioner advances two arguments in support of his claim that the statute do not authorize a levy on the accrued salaries of employees of a state. First, he contends that a state is not a person within the meaning of section 6332, which we're not going to talk about that part. And second, which we will talk about, he argues that Congress, by specifically authorizing in section 6331 a levy upon the accrued salary or wages of any officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality thereof, but not similarly specifically authorizing levy upon the accrued salaries or wages of employees of a state, evinced its intention to exclude the latter from such levies. That means latter means the state employees. Yeah, basically, they argued what we argued, what the law clearly says, that, you know, the law mentions only District of Columbia employees and officials and officers can be levied. So that means that everybody else, you know, doesn't apply to. Boom. Very, very, very simple. But here's the next sentence. The court says the term includes, and including when used in the definition contained in this title, shall not be deemed to exclude other things otherwise with the meaning of the term defined. Oh, so we have to assume that otherwise something else that should be there is there. Well, and they bring up this section 26 U.S.C. 7701B, right? Where it says whether the term person when used in a federal statute includes the state cannot be abstractly declared, but depends upon its legislative environment. Yes, we agree. Two court cases that, okay. After that, it says in interpreting federal revenue measures expressed in terms of general application, this court ordinarily found them operative in the case of state activities, even if states were not expressly indicated as subject of tax. Okay, fine. So what? Somebody in the other cases did not apply the law. No one argued the law. It doesn't matter. Nobody argued this thing, apparently. Okay. So the court in the next sentence, skip the first sentence, says that we think that the subject matter, the context, the legislative history, and the executive interpretation, i.e. the legislative environment of Section 6332, make it plain that Congress intended to and did include states within the term person in Section 6332. Okay. Now that's all about Section 6332. 6331 is the one we're interested in, folks. Let's get to that. So the court says, nor is there merit in petitioner's contention that Congress, by specifically providing in Section 6331 for levy upon the accrued salaries of federal employees, but not mentioning state employees, evinced an intention to exclude the latter from the levy. The explanation of that action by Congress appears quite clearly to be that this court has held in Smith versus Jackson, the Supreme Court case, that a federal disbursing officer might not, in the absence of express congressional authorization, set off an indebtedness of a federal employee to the government against the employee's salary. And pursuant to that opinion, the Comptroller General ruled that administrative officials served with notice of levy would be without authority to withhold any portion of the current salary of such employee in satisfaction of the notice of levy and distraint. Well, that's all irrelevant, folks. It's all really irrelevant. Because Congress specifically said, if you go back, folks, to section 7701A10 that we read earlier, the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary, right? And back in 7701A9, United States, term United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and District of Columbia. See, the word only is there. It's only DC. So when the term United States was used earlier, it was meant to be only the states. What's going on here, obviously, folks, is the U.S. Supreme Court has ignored the plain language of the law, saying, oh, because the federal government manager may not take a paycheck of a federal government worker, oh, we got to make sure we have a procedure for the federal government manager to take the federal government employee's money for taxes. What a ridiculous argument. It's completely irrelevant to what Congress wrote. They just make up something, a digression, a sidetracking, a red herring. Talk about something else, but not talk about the definition of state in the United States in the IRS code. Duh, it's there. So you go to the next paragraph, and the court continues, it is evident that Section 6331 was enacted to overcome that difficulty and to subject the salaries of federal employees to the same collection procedures as are available against all other taxpayers, including employees of a state. Ah, see, that's where they come up with their own conclusion. By completely ignoring the definitions of United States and state in Section 7701, A9, and 7701, A10 of the Irish Code. Folks, this is when, in my opinion, this Supreme Court case was a milestone in enslaving American people as a bunch of communist serfs in utter violation of the U.S. Constitution. And the problem is that very few Americans ever look at the law, read the law, or read Supreme Court cases and put them side by side and see what the plain language of the laws and the U.S. Constitution say. I mean, after all, shouldn't the Supreme Court have gone and say, well, the term state is used here. We should go look up what the IRS code defines states. And the term United States is at issue here also. Let's see what the word United States means in the IRS code. And oh, gee, United States is only Washington to D.C. and states, only Washington, D.C. and states. And the word state is Washington, D.C. also. So it's all D.C. They could have looked at the law and said that, and I suspect, but I don't know, that Sims brought up those IRS code sections to the attention of the courts, the Federal District Court, the Federal Court of Appeal, and the U.S. Supreme Court, but they all ignored it. And even if he didn't do that, you are telling me, folks, that these judges are so ignorant of the law. They don't go say, hey, let's go look up the definition of these key terms. Since that's what the question is here. What the United States means. What the state means. Let's look up definitions. That should help us out. Let's look at that for guidance. But no. They do not bother to even look at the definitions in the Irish Code provided specifically. So when a question like this comes up, what does the United States mean? Who does it apply to? What does the word state mean? So we can see who it applies to. We know what to go by, what Congress said. So the will of the American people that has been expressed through the laws passed by our representatives in government, in Congress, is completely thrown out the trash can, thrown into the trash can by these unelected judges who knowingly and deliberately ignore the will of the people and turn America into a totalitarian dictatorship of the deep state. The IRS in its regulation failed to clarify that the word state means D.C. They could and should have done that. That was their first step of the deep state that the Supreme Court mentions in footnote 6. Then the crooked federal courts completed the job by relying upon that definition of state as provided by the IRS regulation of Section 6331, but ignoring the definition provided by the Congress in Section 7701, A9, and A10. So what happened, folks, that I've heard people at times used to send this IRS code section to the IRS employee who is living their paycheck or the bosses. And the boss or the IRS would remove, would not comply with the levy, would not turn the money of the guy over. Apparently, this happened so many times in across America because, you know, we all think that we have a government by we the people still. The Congress writes the laws, and the courts are supposed to only enforce the laws written by Congress. Not change it, not ignore the law written by Congress. People don't expect that the courts to be so crooked, you know, creatures of the deep state. So, unfortunately, what the IRS did was another clever tactic. When they sent a copy of the law, IRS code section 6331, the employers, what they've been doing for a few decades now, they conveniently take out 6331A, that whole A part that talks about levy can be made on someone in employed the government in DC. They just take it out. They only provide paragraphs B through K. B, C, D, E, F, G, I, J, K. 9 sections, they leave it all there. But section A of 6331, which could be said you can only, you know, levy the wages of an employee officer, employee, or the official of a DC government, IRS just takes it out and doesn't send that to the employer. So IRS just simply now, because of the blessings of these unelected, crooked, deep state federal judges, just canceled the law written by the representatives of the American people in Congress. Cancel the law. They vetoed it, folks. They changed the law. They're ignoring the law. The policy of the deep state is to rob the American people of their wealth at all costs, by hook or crook, deliberately ignoring the law. Supreme Court did that. Hey, they did not discuss the definition of United States and state as provided in the IRS code. So effectively, the Supreme Court just canceled out Section 6331A by their interpretation of that section. So we just take it out too. We don't let anybody talk about it, see it. It just ignored. Of course, they ignore the part about, you know, they ignore the first sentence of it, you know, that the government can issue a levy. So the problem with this, though, is that you cannot go to courts and ask them to enforce the law because the deep state is ignoring the law, folks. And freedom laws are the duty to expose all this to you, folks. I wish I could tell you, you just go take this. In case you get a levy, take it to the IRS, and IRS will follow the law. If the IRS does not follow the law, take it to federal courts, because I just showed you, they're all a bunch of crooks, thieves, deep state crooks. And American people become ignorant of the law, we're sleeping on our rights, and did not know our public servants, who are not elected, the judges and bureaucrats, are not elected by us. They're hired by Congress, our representatives, who are not watching them. These servants have taken over the House. Ignoring the law. So you cannot do that. But if you have no other choice, hey, it may not hurt to send this code section, the language of it, clearly to your employer or to the IRS agent who's trying to levy you. Say, hey, here it is. It says, you know, and then send that, if you do that, send it along with definition of United States and state. Be sure to attach this photocopy of 6331 from Congress and definition of United States and state from 26 U.S.C. section 7701A9 and A10. And highlight the relevant language, folks. Okay, dummy proof it. Maybe you have some luck. Maybe you'll come across a decent employer who will see the law and says, wow, is that what the law says? I can clearly read it. It's published by the House of Representatives in Congress. I'm going to follow the law versus go with my accountant or lawyer tells me, hey, ignore that. Ignore the law written by Congress? Yeah. If you don't, the IRS and the courts will punish you, take it from you. So you want me to go along, Mr. Lawyer and CPA, with the treason against the American people by ignoring the law written by our representatives in government? Yeah. You need to go along with the deep state to protect you because they can take it from you with 50% penalty if you don't take his money. Maybe employer that you have has got enough courage, guts, integrity to follow the law as written. Maybe the IRS employee that sent a levy to you have enough integrity to follow the law and not enforce the levy, retract it. Then again, the levy may be issued by a computer. Okay, then you call the IRS toll-free number. Anybody answer the phone, and the person on the phone that did not see all this stuff just says, oh, well, you got to just pay up. I don't know. We'll see. You may get the person on the phone on the 800 number of the IRS and get their name and ID number and direct access number and send them this copy of these laws I just told you. I'll follow up with the person and say, here's what it says. And you might get lucky. That IRS employee might be just shocked that he or she and all of us have been living in a matrix of lies, fraud, and deception. I cannot tell you it will work again because of the corrupt deep state, but it doesn't hurt. Other things can be done perhaps to beat the IRS on technicalities that you need to contact in law school, but other strategies that are more complex and complicated because this simple thing like this that should work, ought to work. Our representatives in Congress wrote it for it to work is not working. The law has been vetoed and canceled illegally, unconstitutionally, both by the IRS and executive branch and the courts and the judicial branch. They have conspired, executive and judiciary, to ignore the law written by the our representatives in Congress. So there it is, folks, the analysis of this issue. Can the IRS only take the money from the U.S. government workers legally, the way it's supposed to be? Yes. But in practice, the deep state? No. Just the same way you've seen it, folks, over the last year and a half, 2 years, Miss Hillary Clinton, that criminal crook, well known by American people, Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill, a bunch of literally murderers, crooks of the yin yang. Bill Clinton goes and gets $500,000 from the bank that is involved in selling our uranium to Russia that his wife Hillary signs on. Hillary Clinton sets up a server in her house as Secretary of State. They got top secret emails, completely bypassed the government offices, government computers, and goes to her personal computer in her home. This deliberate, intentional, thousands, if not tens of hundred thousands of these emails come to Hillary Clinton's email. And our national security is threatened by this. And the crooked FBI deep state and the U.S. Department of Justice, the Obama White House, that all allow Hillary, what? They allow her to destroy her devices, the server, 13 different devices she had, she's used to access these, you know, illegally removed top secret emails from government files. By Hammer, by Bleachbit computer program, others, they allow her to do that. They give all Hillary's lawyers and buddies and staff workers immunity from prosecution. Usually give immunity from prosecution to people. So you tell that person, hey, now, Hillary Clinton's assistant, we give you immunity from prosecution so you could tell us about Hillary Clinton. You will not go to jail if you tell us about your crimes because we give you immunity. But no. Here they gave immunity to Clinton's buddies and workers, so they do not go to jail either. And they never form a grand jury to subpoena a document or server or anything. The U.S. Department of Justice never has one lawyer appointed to set up a grand jury to investigate Clinton. Head of FBI Comey, the crook, does this phony press conference. Oh, no reasonable prosecutor could prove to jury that Hillary Clinton intentionally did this. Wrong, Mr. Comey. The law doesn't require intent. You remove any government files, you're guilty, period, end of story. Intent is not required, number one. Number two, Hillary obviously meant to take those files from their offices to her home because she set up a server and all the complications that goes with that. It's not an easy job, plug and play. You have to get a computer programmer expert to do it for you. She meant to do it. It was not an accident. It was deliberate. It was intentional. Yet the deep state exonerates Hillary Clinton several months in advance. Comey writes the exoneration letter of Hillary Clinton that she's not guilty. And then she cannot be successfully prosecuted. And then they go after Trump with a vengeance. Because Trump is a businessman, not a politician, not a bureaucrat, not a judge, not a part of the criminal deep state. You could mess up their plans. We got to get rid of them. They break every law, regulation. They put a phony, you know, they have this unexcusable Russian interfere with our elections, right? To go after Trump. They come up with this phony thing. First, they blackmail Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, to recuse yourself. They always got the dirt on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, folks. They obviously do. He immediately recuses himself. I'm off this case. It goes to back Obama holdover deep state Rosenstein. Rosenstein was one of the crooks to sign up on a fraudulent FISA warrant illegally obtained against Trump based upon lies. So Rosenstein, who's part of deep state crooks going against Trump, has a conflict of interest. Much worse than potentially Rosenstein could have had to recuse himself from anything Russian-related. He appoints Mueller to go after Trump and his people for collusion with Russians to affect our election against Hillary that lost. Folks, this is how powerful the deep state is. They're going against sitting United States presidents after a year of him being in office. So we have our work cut out for us. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'll tell you this, folks. This man on this conference call is not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to tell as many people who have open eyes and ears and mind about this. And I invite you not to give up and do the same. Share this information. Share these conference calls at the Freedom Law School with people you know and challenge them. Challenge them to show you're wrong. After listening to the conference calls, look up the laws published by Congress We got to wake up the American people from our deep sleep to take our country from a path of tyranny that we've been under and free America once again. And it can happen, folks. It can happen if every one of you on this call, live or recorded, does your part, get this information out there, and people start understanding. People start seeing the truth for themselves for the first time. They're already hearing about the deep state and the news, folks, going after Donald Trump, the president. So it wouldn't surprise them now that the deep state has been enslaving American people for a much longer time. If they could do that to a president of the United States, folks, imagine what they could do to the rest of us. So after a year, he still hasn't gotten them off his back. So with that, folks, let's go to any questions that you may have on this call about any freedom issues. So I don't see any hands up right at this point on the live call. If you have a question, push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let me know you have a question. And I will take up your question about any freedom issue that you may have that Freedom Law School can assist you with. By the way, folks, remember, Freedom Law School does its conference calls with your support. And your support comes is by getting one of our courses or freedom packages that are designed to help you live free. Okay? You see the sophisticated analysis I have to do, folks? I have to do a lot more sophisticated, deeper reading and research of law to beat these crooks in the government. And I've done it. I beat the levies of the IRS. Other ways, unfortunately, not this direct, simple way that should work, but doesn't. Because these crooks are so lazy, so arrogant, you can beat them some other very technical ways that Freedom Law School is good at. If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, and go down to course packages on your smartphone. You have to scroll down the menu. Go down to course packages. On your personal computer, just you see course packages on second line of menus. You see we have a practical road to freedom, level 1, from $300. A course of 20 hours of education plus. All the way up to Royal Freedom Package at different levels of courses and freedom packages. And the Royal Freedom Package includes anything and everything that comes up with the IRS. Freedom Law School will do it all for you. All the letters, all the paperwork, IRS related, all covered at no extra charge. All you have to do is to maintain your annual membership. That's it. Freedom Law School will do our best to keep these crooks off of your back as best as humanly possible. And you can see our partial list of our many victories if you go under the tab, our victories on our website at livefreenow.org. Go down to our victories, and below that you see Freedom Law School victories. I'll be the IRS myself, Paymon, me. And more than once, and so has our students. So you want to win? Beat the crooks? It's possible. Freedom Law School has done it. Join hands with Freedom Law School and our other good students. Together we can make a difference for you to live free, and together again have the American be free. So you can support us and support yourself to live free at the same time. By getting these courses or course packages. And remember, our courses, if you have the level 1 course or better, all the courses come with a money back guarantee, unconditional 90-day money back guarantee, because I want you to be happy. I want the education to be what you want, what you need, works for you to your satisfaction. Otherwise, send it back. I don't want your money. I want it to work for you to live free. So, let's go now to our questions. And we have a caller now from area code 562 with a question. So caller from area code 562, give me your first name. Tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School. And then your question, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Damon.
What's
is,
your name?
Damon, and I heard Damon?
Yes, Damon, a regular caller. Good to hear from you, Damon. Thanks for calling,
hey,
my friend.
Yeah,
what is on your mind tonight, Damon?
Hey, I want to make a suggestion. Maybe you can add it to some of your study packages. If you can probably make a question and answer outline where as people go through the courses, they can constantly refresh their memory to test their knowledge of what they learn by having a small package that deals with a whole bunch of questions and answers, you know, as though they were in a classroom taking a quiz. I just want to throw that out as a suggestion, as maybe something you can
Thank
probably
you.
Do.
I do have one. I do have one. I'm glad you reminded me. I will send it to you. Okay, I do have
a
small quiz to make sure you got the basics of that. So we'll mail or email it to you. I think we have the email, so we'll email it to you. That questionnaire, my friend, if you listen to Level 1 course or if you're in law school, yes, you'll appreciate the little test to make sure you got it right, my friend.
And I guess one more thing, just to make sure I'm kind of understanding what the discussion is, when it says the United States, speaking of the geographic locations, they're actually talking about the land sites, or are they just speaking in general of something else?
The land. Geography, of course, means the land. Exactly where geography doesn't cover.
So that means, so wherever the government have taken territory of actual land throughout the state that we actually live in, the United States, versus, I mean, and also in District of Columbia, so the actual taking over of all those land states or land pieces would be considered the U.S.
I'm not sure what you mean by your question, my friend, but I covered this issue in a conference calls of May 14th and 24th of 2018. Did you listen to those calls, Damon? Hello, are you there, Damon? I cannot hear you, my friend, but I covered it in more detail, and tonight also did. Folks, this is why I tell you guys ideally should have your computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone with you to look up and follow these things. Okay, these code sections, folks, they're come straight from the website of the House of Representatives of U.S. government. So you can see and follow it along for yourself, so you don't have to just take my word. That's what I'm saying. And of course, I like personal computers better because the screen is much bigger. You can have multiple pages open and compare them for yourself. Okay? All right, folks. Damon just left the call. I think he got disconnected. He was in a bad area. I want to thank you all for being with me tonight. Do what you want to do in your heart and share this information with other like-minded Americans. And come back next Thursday night for another informative class of Freedom Law School on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Good night.